So I realized when I did my PowerPoint last night, man, not doing this every month, I almost forgot how to do my PowerPoint. So you know that I talk with pictures, and that's very important to me. So let's just ask Father to open our hearts today, because as we've already done, He's the heart opener. We do cooperate. Father God, we come to You, and we do, as we've already said this morning, want to know Your heart, because that's our life. It's our heartbeat. So we give You our hearts, and we ask You to align them with Your hearts. And I ask You personally, Father, to touch each one of us today where we need to be touched, because only You know that, and only You can do it. And I thank You that You will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you see, the opening PowerPoint is the one that I started back in September, the head of the year, 5775, the Jewish number for the year, said that this year from September to September was going to be a year of whirlwinds. Have you felt a whirlwind? I certainly have this week. Seemed like it got even more ferocious. And so I don't know about your mind. Does your mind ever say, if everything was calm and peaceful and everything was going well, I had a perfect environment, I had the home I want, I had the car I want, I had the status I want, I had the circumstance I want, that would be the abundant life. Have ever any of you ever fallen for that lie? How do I know it's a lie? Because that's what Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve lived in the garden. It was perfect. They had everything they could want, and they made the wrong choice. And then hell on earth started. God had to give them a choice, because that's love. He wants a bride that chooses Him, not robots that have to obey Him. And so He took the risk. What brought the hell was when decisions were made opposite to God's will. When His will was in perfect alignment in the garden, there was no chaos. When they made the choice of the wrong will, hell started happening. When we look around today, hell seems to be breaking out all over the world and getting worse and worse. So what can we conclude? It is a lot of wills lined up against His will that is causing all the chaos, the pain, the frustration, and the lack of peace. So today I want us to focus on the kingdom perspective. The next PowerPoint that Chuck Pierce released, the first of this year, 2015, we had good prophetic words that in 2015, God was going to begin to give us a recompense to double the losses we've lost. I'm ready for that, aren't you? Got a whole stack of losses that I say, God, I'm looking for the double that You have there. And He says, in order to have that, you must have My perspective. You must be looking at Me and My heart, not what's going on down here in the world. So as we are doing that, we will actually bring heaven to earth. And let it be on earth as it is in heaven. That is our job. That is our assignment. That is our calling. The kingdom of heaven is within, and it's closer than we think it is. And as we live on earth, aligned with His heart, choosing His will, surrendered to Him, then, as it is in heaven, it will be on earth. And how do we do that? We do that by aligning our will with His will. And there is what makes the knee of the enemy bow. All through Scripture, God gives us stories of His warriors. Not only because He's excited about them, because He's proud of them, because they are His trophies that dared to align their will with His will, but also, as we look at their stories, it helps us to learn lessons to make our life victorious. And I want to tell you a story that has grabbed me this last month as I've read. There's a book that Destiny Image put out, God's Generals, and the sons of God's generals. And that particularly caught my heart, because it was people that are in ministry, and it was interviewing their children to see what effect it had had on them. Now, all of us, whether our parents are in ministry or whether they are not, no matter where they come from, all of us have a sad story. And it is no respecter of persons, because the enemy is out to rob, steal, and destroy from God's children. But I was particularly aware of Lori Arnott Lawler's story. Lori Arnott Lawler is the daughter of John Arnott, who is the senior pastor of the Airport Fellowship in Toronto, Canada, where the Toronto Blessing or the Revival started some 20 years ago. And even before he was the senior pastor there, she said, even when he wasn't in full-time ministry, he was always involved in people. He loved people. He was evangelizing people. He would have small groups gather around him to just talk about Jesus. So Lori had a special connection with her dad. She and her dad had a very close bond. But because her dad was so involved in ministry, Lori often felt lonely. She often felt that there was somebody more important to her than her. She often felt that other needs were more important than her needs. And as a result, she decided, I will never be in full-time ministry. However, God knows how to turn our pain into gain and make it work for us, not against us. That's what an awesome God we serve. I've chosen this picture to represent Lori's life because she was a Christian. She had received Jesus as her Savior when she was very young. I think 3, 4, 5, very young. And I chose this picture to represent her life because even though she was raised with a father that loved God, the enemy looks for anything he can do to whisper lies in your ears, to take advantage of you and do some type of abuse to try to cause you to lose your destiny. But as I looked at this picture, I chose it because it has a cross in the middle. Now it has has the heart of God on it, but it has all kinds of pictures, colors swarming around. But I chose to represent the golden colors and the green colors, as all of us have God's hold on our life. No matter what happens to us, God has His hold on our life so that we can come through all the pain, no matter what it is, and be victorious. Lori found herself at a conference in Mexico, And in that conference, the speaker that night said, anybody that wants more of God, come forward. She knew she was to go forward because she wanted more of God. And as I look at my brothers and sisters, I know you're here today because you want more of God, and I do. And so she went up and was in the line. Now, Lori had never heard any talk. She had never had a vision. She had never heard any talk of visions. This was totally out of her frame of understanding. Before she knew it, she was slain on the floor in a full-flown vision where she was in a long line of people, and all of them were pulling in nets full of souls. They were working hard, pulling in nets full of souls, pulling, 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 and she knew she was part of the end-time harvest. But as a result, she got very tired. She thought, I am so tired, I just can't do this anymore. So she said to Jesus, can I stop now? And he said, no, there's more souls to bring in. So she and the long line of people pulled and pulled and pulled in the nets, full and full and full of souls. And finally, so tired she didn't think she could go any farther, she said, can I quit now? And he said, no, there's more souls to be brought in. So she worked more and more and more. And then she began to feel herself going up. And when she felt herself going up, she said, Jesus, what's happening to me? Where are we going? And what's happening? And he said, I am taking you to your reward. Well, Lori had heard her dad, John Arnott, read her Bible stories from the time she was very little. And she, in hearing these Bible stories, pictured streets of gold and all the gems and a wedding feast table set with all the luxuries that you could imagine. So when Jesus told her, I'm taking you up to your reward, that's what came to her mind. So when they continued to go up, she knew that they had landed in the throne room. So she was excited to look around and see all these things that had been in her mind as a child. And as she looked around, she saw an empty room. And she looked to Jesus, and he said, I'm your reward. I'm your reward. And at that moment, she was overwhelmed by absolute love and revelation that he is enough. That's my wrestle today, and I bet it's yours. That we learn to wrestle to know that he's our reward. He's our reward. I have written on my wall at the foot of my bed, Psalm 16:5-6, that he is my portion. He is my chosen and assigned portion. He is my cup. But you know, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. 47 years ago, I had searched for God for 30 years in every place I knew to search. And in January of 68, he overwhelmed me for a week with his absolute love. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I had found what I was looking for. But I knew that I had only begun my journey, and my wrestle to always know that he's enough when I'm looking for more. So as Lori received her reward of God's absolute love, Jesus said, "Let's go for a walk." And they went out of the throne room, and they leisurely walked and talked and enjoyed each other's company because there was no time. There's no time except in our little space of earth. No time there. She enjoyed being with him, knowing there was no one else waiting to talk to him. No one's needs were greater than hers. And she loved talking with him. But then she said, "Can we go back to the throne room one more time?" And on the way back, there was a room just outside the throne room that she looked in. And when she looked in, she remembered a time in her life when she was especially lonely and sad. She saw all of her toys and all of her special possessions. And she looked at Jesus, "No, I don't want to revisit that. I don't want to revisit that." And Jesus said, "That is most precious to me. I was there with you. When you felt so alone, I was there. When you felt unworthy, I was there. That room is very, very precious to me because you're very, very precious to me." And she said she was instantly healed. Now, many of us that have had extreme and excruciating and horrific pain may say in our first response, "Well, Jesus, if you were there, why didn't you stop the abuse? Why didn't you meet my pain then?" And that's not abnormal to have that as a response. And I wish I could give a clear-cut 1-2-3 answer to that. Because most people's journey is a step-by-step process, and it takes time. Lori was healed at that moment of that empty, lonely hurt. But when I struggle myself for either my own personal pain or pain for someone I love, all I can do is go back to the cross. See if I can get my cross up. It's not working. Craig, can you mash that? The next one. All I can do when I have all those unanswered questions is to go back to the cross. I know that Jesus knew all the lonely, hurt, abuse. He was fully there. He was fully engaged, and he didn't miss one ounce of it. And he tells us in Hebrews 12:2, he endured the shame of your abuse, my abuse, your wounds, my wounds, all the things that stand in the place of us experiencing Father's love completely and totally as a way of life. He knows all of those things. And he said, "I bore the shame of it. I bore the sin of it. I bore the pain of it. I bore the guilt of it. Because I know there's going to come a time that the healing will be complete. And for that joy, I go through it. I go through it with you. I go through it with you, knowing there is hope." I long to understand more Father's heart. It has been harder for me to identify with Father God than it has been Jesus, because my own earthly father and I didn't have a close relationship until toward the end of his life. Possibly that's the reason. But when I begin to try to grasp it more and more, Those of you that have children, you know that it hurts more to see them hurt than it does to hurt yourself, right? So then I say, okay, Father's heart gave himself through his son that our hurts and our pains may be healed. And so I have to go back to it and I say, okay, if God doesn't heal someone I love instantly or myself instantly, what's that saying? All I know is my God loves me more than he loves himself. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have stayed away from this sin-torn hell on earth. But he came because he said, I want to experience everything you experience because I want to give you the love of my Father. So I go back and I say, God, I don't know. I don't know. But I want to know you more, as Lori said, because in knowing you more, you are my portion. The only thing that some people walk through harder roads than others is because he trusts them with a harder assignment to take authority in an area that as they go through that pain, they will gain an authority and a power that they wouldn't have gained if they hadn't gone that road. I know that's true. And I know that when I am willing to suffer with Jesus and push into him when the pain feels like it's going to take the life out of me, and I push into Jesus saying, you know, there is a joy on the other side. I know that begins to break the power of darkness. That's the only thing that breaks it, is the Father's love. The Father's love is what breaks it. And so as we push into him with our pain, it weakens the power of the enemy, not only in our life, but in that area in which he has called us to be victorious and to rule and reign with him. You see, our job, for some reason my thing is, our job is talked about in Luke 21:19. By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your soul. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit came fully packed with everything you need for life. But your soul was ignorant and has to be trained. That's our part of cooperating with Jesus, is learning to develop the character of Christ in our soul. And we have to do it by steadfastness and patient endurance in order to win the true life of our soul. In Psalms 106:15, it says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul and disease and death. My heart has been broken when God spoke to me for two people that he gave them the desires of their soul, but sent leanness. I mean, gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Ladies and gentlemen, our job is to possess our soul. Jesus came for a bride that was willing to fight for what he gave us. We do not give in to the desires that we think will fulfill us, because we may just lose our soul, which is not only for now, but for eternity and your reward. Matthew 16:26-27 says, for what is it a man profiteth if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Your work, my work, is to stay in his presence and release the Father's love through us. That's our work. And then what he does, and as we cooperate with him, it builds character in our soul. And it's hard work. It's hard work. It's called laying down your life. It's called laying down your life for him. When you look in the mirror, and I've got two pictures up here of a young man looking into a mirror, and then a picture on the right-hand side of a mirror where we see the sin's image of us. God tells us that our job is to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, with all of our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. What do you think about yourself when you look in the mirror? Do you look and see the image on the right where sin has made you look gross and you think you're dirty and you're filthy and you're awful and you're inferior and you could never do anything important and there's really something wrong with you and you were flawed from the get-go? If that's true, that's you're seeing sin's image, the things that the enemy has whispered to you. When you look in the mirror, do you see the reflection of God back in you? Can you say, Spirit, you've done a good job today. You're looking full into Father's face. Now, soul, I thank you that you will come into perfect alignment and submit to the Spirit, and our body will walk forward doing what God would have us to do. It is hard work to give Jesus a bride without spot and wrinkle. You see the picture of a bride here, and there's flames behind her and smoke. We've all been defiled. We've all been hurt. We've all been told lies, and we've agreed with them. Now our job is to realign, readjust, recalculate our mind, our will, and our emotions in our soul to what Father says, and let everything that is not of Him burn up. And it hurts. It's called laying down your life and not knowing what God's going to do, but knowing that we are in a fight for life and death. You don't have to look around very far to see that our nation has lost its purpose. It's lost its passion. It's lost the freedom and the truths that on which this country was based. And as a result, young people are going to fight with ISIS. How crazy is that? Because we don't stand for the right thing. If we will stand for our God and say He's our God, we will do right. Whether we gain the world or not, we will do right. As we sung today, we will stand. So I'm calling us all to stand before Father's heart again today and let Him release His heart in us so that His image will be reflected in us. You and I were each one made in the image of God. Now, there's some people that it's really, really hard to see God's image in them, isn't it? Is there anybody in your life that you have a hard time seeing God's image in them? All of us have them. And we would just like to mash a delete button. But God said, would you mash the push button? And push into me, and do not give up until you see my image in them, and you fan those flames. So all of us have people in our lives that are hard to love. I can look back and see that as I pushed into God, those hard people were the biggest blessing. And something else, do you know those people might be the very key to your destiny? How many causes that have changed the world have gotten there because of tragedy, and somebody developed an organization or developed a skill or a trade in order to minister in certain ways because of their pain? Because they pushed through with His heart, He used that as the key to unlock God's image in them and their destiny and their calling. It is a narrow road. It's a narrow road tension that I like to call Jeremiah 15:19. There God said, if you will return to me, you'll be my minister once again, but you have to separate the precious from the vile. And that's hard for me. I am of a personality that I either see all good and trust gullibly, or I just write you off and wish I'd never see you again and cut you out of my life. I have to regularly work at that, to not just do you in or believe gullibly, but say, God, let me see the precious in this person. And let me take the vial that I see and know that I can't change that. But I lay that at the foot of the cross. And I will fan the flames of the precious that I do see. And that's hard work. It takes the life of God to do that. We are a bride in training. We do walk a narrow path. And we're walking a narrow path to the tree of life. Ephesians 5:27 says, he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. He's holy. We're not. How do we get holy? Staying in his presence, lining our heart with him. It hurts to be misunderstood. It hurts to be judged. It hurts. It hurts. And just this week, I was reminded again of a relationship that I do not have with someone I wish I did, that I don't know what I did. And the thing that God specifically spoke to me was, guard your heart that you don't get hard-hearted. Yes, God, that's hard. And he said, not only guard your heart that you don't get hard-hearted, but be flexible at any moment. Be willing to receive that person if I open the door. Now, I don't know what will happen, but I saw that person's name on my caller ID. Hadn't spoken to them in 15 years. And I had worked to guard my heart to not be hard-hearted. And so I thought, do I pick up the phone? What if when they hear my voice, they hang it up? And I realized that's not my problem. Answer it with a tender heart. So I said, hello. The person identified themselves and asked to speak with my husband. Could they? And I said, well, of course you can. I was glad my heart wasn't hard. I don't know what else God's going to do, but all I know is my assignment to guard my heart, to walk with him as a way of life. When you look at this picture, has anyone seen this picture before on the internet? Corey has, several of you have. Okay, you that have already seen the picture, you don't get to participate right now. Those that have not seen the picture, would anybody dare say, do you see this as being two friends that you would normally think of friends going on a friend adventure, or would you say it's a struggle of life or death? How many say it's a friend thing that haven't seen it? Okay, how many say it's a struggle of life or death? Okay, about half and half. So I need you when my discernment's wrong, and you need me when my discernment's wrong. And so there was a man that was looking through his binoculars, and he saw this picture, and it caught his attention. Wow! There is a baby weasel riding on the back of a woodpecker. And a baby weasel is ferocious as a lion and fearless. And he thought, what is happening here? And when he changed from his binoculars to the camera, the woodpecker had sat down on the ground. When he changed from binoculars to the camera to take a picture, that slightly scared or distracted the weasel. And when it did, the woodpecker knew his gate was open, and he quickly got out of the grasp of the weasel, who was trying to kill him for his lunch. And he would have done it if he hadn't have got out of his grip. But because this photographer sitting 25 meters away slightly moved, it distracted the weasel. The woodpecker got away and flew into the bushes, and when he readjusted himself and got his dignity back, then he flew off, and the weasel went into the bushes hungry. All of us are being attacked, but God has given us a door of escape. And we readjust and we get our dignity back by going into his presence and realigning with his heart. When you look at this glory train, did you know God's getting a glory train up? A people that, as somebody gave a testimony earlier, that God always had a remnant. You're it. And he's saying, I want you to sit down on the glory train because I'm getting ready to release my glory to those that will align their heart with my heart. When you look at these out these windows, do you see fear or do you see his love? What do you see? So we need a heart adjustment. Jack Frost's son, Jack Frost was known as revealing Father's heart of love. He's now in heaven. But his son Joshua wrote that he went through a rebellious time. And when he had rebelled and rebelled and rebelled, his father was doing everything he could to release his love. And he shared with his son, Joshua, if you get in trouble one more time, I'm going to have to use the love paddle to paddle you several times. And so the time came, and he came home, and Joshua was really dreading talking to his father. His father looked very serious and very stern, and told him what had happened, and his father said, well, I guess I'll have to get the love paddle. And he then handed it to his son and said, I've obviously misrepresented Father's love to you to cause you to have such rebellion. I will bend over and you give me what you deserve. That's what our Father did. He bent over and took what we deserve so that we can know his love. 1 John 4:8 says, for God is love. As Lori was overwhelmed with God's love in the throne room, and I've simply only tasted it, I ask that we begin to open our heart and say, God, show me your love. If you've ever felt it minuscule, a little bit, a lot, always return to the place you've known his love and let him water it. Let it grow. Stay there. Bask in it until it overflows and fills your heart. Because when the rough gets weak, the weak gets, when your days get very rough, what helps me the most is to remember that our God reigns. He is seated in the heavenlies, and he rules and reigns. And there's nothing outside of his control. Yes, everybody has a free choice. Because we have to have a free choice to be his bride. He does nothing evil. Anything bad that happens to you came from some man's bad choice. some human being's bad choice, or the enemy's bad choice in some way. But God rules and reigns, and he's not allowed anything to happen that he cannot turn for your good, as you push into him and let him turn the pain into a treasure, into your destiny. And as we do that, we will reap our own individual harvest. All of us have a different harvest. All of us have a different road to walk. But Jesus is still the answer, and Jesus is enough. And so therefore, I leave you with this final picture of the bride riding on the lion. He's our strength. And as we, the bride of Christ, ride on the lion of Judah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we surrender to his will, accepting his training for our soul life, our soul will be redeemed and look like Jesus. That's worth not only living for, but dying for, isn't it? Let's raise that standard so that the young people across the world, and especially in America, will have a standard once again for something to live for that's life-changing. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're our Father. I ask you to help us to love you as much as you love us. That's a supernatural act, and only you can do that. But we give you our hearts today, and we say, love yourself in us, and us through the shed blood of Jesus. And I speak to your spirit today, and I say, Father God has deposited in you everything you need for everything you are facing right now or that you shall ever face. So look full into his face and receive the grace that he's allotted for you today. Then to your soul, I say, soul, you've done well in your survival, but now is time to thrive. It's time to thrive by joining your will to Father's will, your mind to the mind of Christ, leading each thought captive, and your emotions to the Holy Spirit, that he heal all those wounded places and be free to let his emotions flow through. And to your body, I say healing to your body by the stripes of the Lamb, that your body will be healed as your soul prospers. So in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I bind your spirit, soul, and body to him in surrender that his will be done and that his glory be released. And I thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. And if any of you need prayer, leaders will be up here in this corner to pray for you. Or you feel free to turn and ask someone in the audience to pray for you if you would like. Or you just enjoy each other's company. But we dismiss you in the name of Jesus under his protection and care and blessing. Bye-bye.